Amen. I'm going to preach tonight to us. You turn to your Bibles in Exodus chapter number 25. I told Brother Larry I was going to do my best to keep it short because I know he is anxious to see that wife of his and Michael and Larry Joshua. I'm anxious to see him, and I'm going to be gone next week. Amen. I want to preach to us just for a few moments tonight on simply this thought, a testimony. A testimony. Exodus chapter number 25 and verse number 16. And it says, "And thou shalt put into the ark the testimony which I shall give thee. And thou shalt put in the ark the testimony which I shall give thee." Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. God, we're so thankful, God, for the life that you've given us. An opportunity to be a light, God, in this dark time that we live in. God, when things around us seem to crumble. God, when all hope seems lost, God, we can find that hope in you because we have that testament, God, that you've given us so many years ago. God, you've given us a promise of a better day, God, of a better place. Lord, I pray that you'd move in our hearts and our lives in this service tonight. God, that you would draw on us to be better witnesses, better lights. God, that in the day of judgment when it comes, God, that we stand before you not ashamed, God, of the gospel that you bore in us, but we've given it our all, God, in the congregation of this place. Amen says amen. Hallelujah. You can be seated tonight. Amen. I jotted this down. I had no idea what Sister Pepper was going to exhort about, amen, or even the scripture that Brother Pepper was going to read about, amen, this evening. But I jotted this down earlier. Uh-oh, voice is getting a little squeaky there. Is without a test, there can be no testimony. Now this morning, Brother Robert, my phone rang at 3 o'clock. My phone goes off before 6 o'clock. Means something is wrong. When my mom called me this morning, Brother Robert, there were several circumstances that raced to my front of my mind of things that were wrong. As I was trying to gather my bearings, I texted my mom back and I said, "Is everything okay?" As I'm getting up, Brother Matthew, I start to make a track to the garage because I did not want to wake everyone up in the house. And as I get out there, I call her. About the time she sends me a picture of all that's left of that facility is a portion of a block wall or brick wall. And I got off the phone with her and I called my dad. And he's standing out there possibly talking to one of the firefighters. And he's just weeping. He said, "I just don't understand." Well, if anybody knows that he does, without a test, there is no testimony. There's been a lot of tests that's been in my life and in my family's life. And I might go through a few of them here before the end of the service. I want to read a little more scripture to you tonight. Amen. And we find here in Exodus, this was God speaking to Moses, and he was telling him, "And thou shalt put in the ark the testimony which I shall give thee." You know, every time we walk into this sanctuary, we have the opportunity to testify to our neighbor. Amen. It's beside us, behind us, or in front of us. You know that you can rub off your testimony on someone else. If you have a bad attitude, and you're upset because I've just been in the hospital for a week. I'm just going to be honest, Brother Matthew. Things ain't been great. So I just tell you what, I ain't going to worship. Well, guess what? Somebody else is going to see what's going on over there. They're going to say, "Well, if he ain't going to worship after all he's been through, I ain't going to worship." I want to tell us about the negative testimony we can give here for just a minute before I get into what God put in this box. Okay? God had some specific things that he put in there, and I'm going to get to those here in just a minute, but I want us to realize the testimony that we put off when we're around other people. Well, guess what? I just had a hard day yesterday. I'm sore. But Larry, I'm not as young as I used to be. And Isaac over there, I'm just going to go ahead and call these boys out. Isaac and Grant, they wanted to test my youth. And Brother John, I could have used you to be my armor bearer, to have an arsenal waiting. I needed somebody to have my back. Jonathan, you weren't even there to take in being sideswiped into the kiddie pool. And Brother Matthew, I still ended up on top. It was a test. And my limp is the testimony of winning. They might not be hurting, but I sure am. But I won. I'm saying all that to get to this point. Whenever we get around other individuals, we begin to set an example. We begin to set the bar for the service. We begin to set the bar for the atmosphere. Because whenever I came in here, and we came in here just a little bit after 5:30, and there was only a few folks that were praying. Curl your toes up. Get ready, boys. Told the boys, they walked in. I said, get up there and get to praying. I walked by a few minutes later, and guess what? I'm going to step on their toes. I told them I was. They were cackling like a couple schoolgirls over a picture. Not sure what the picture was. Let me ask you boys something. I'm dead serious. What kind of testimony are you setting for Isaac? Because he's younger than you guys are. Or for Weston. For little Jansen over there. For Tony. Truth hurts. These are my boys. I've taught them in Rangers. Truth hurts. We've got to be accountable to our testimony. Because guess what? When I'm at the gas station, Brother Matthew, and I overfill the tank, and I waste $5 or $6 out on the ground, do I pull the faucet out and slam it on the ground? What kind of testimony would I be? We look at those things out in the world and we say, oh, you know, that's honest frustrations because of the money that was lost. So we bring that same excuse into the house of God, the temple of God. Man, it's quiet. It's stepping on my toes. I don't know about yours. I'm glad I clipped my nails before I got here. Amen. And we wonder why we get nothing out of the service, because all we've done is grumble and complain about all the mistreatment, all the frustrations that we have. God did not put all the bad things in the box. But we bring all of our frustrations, all of our aggravations, all of our dissatisfactions, we put it in a box in the house of God. And we wonder why we don't see healings. We wonder why we don't see miracles. We wonder why we don't see salvation. We wonder why we don't see God begin to bring down like a cloud, like he did in the days of old. I'm here to tell you why. It's because we've got the wrong testimony in the box. We've got to begin to bring up our praise. Begin to give him the thankfulness. Amen. Out of our heart for what he's done. Whether it was yesterday or 20 years ago. I don't care how bad the day was today. Reflect back. He said, don't tear down them old things. But leave them there for a remembrance. Amen. A testimony. Hallelujah. We find in Hebrews chapter number 9. In verse number 4, he says, which had the gold censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. These are the things that the Word of God brings out as some important things that was in the box. Amen. I want some participation here for just a minute from everyone. I want everybody to shout out or to holler out and raise your hand and say, I am the box whenever I say three, all right? I want us to realize who we are in our position, all right? One, two, three. I am the box. There we go. Thank you, buddy. It's getting loud. We're the box. Amen. We find here in Hebrews there were some things that was put in there. The ark carried a few of the mighty things that God had done. A reminder of the things not only that He had done, but what He was capable of doing. We've got to begin to grab a hold of the things that God has done for us in the past so that we can look forward to the things that He can do in the future. Amen. We've got to begin to have a hope. Amen. A lively hope. Amen. Begin to look forward to what God can do in the impossibility of our lives. Amen. When cancer comes, we've got to have that hope. I'm here to tell you, when death begins to be at our doorstep, we've got to have that hope. We've got to have that testimony of what God has done and what He will continue to do. Amen. God is not dead. He is alive forevermore. How do I know that? Because I feel Him down in my soul. I know He's real. I know He can move. I know He can make a miracle. Amen. When I seem hopeless, when I find pain, I can lean on the rock, Jesus Christ, my salvation. I'm going to tell you what God's been doing. Brother Larry, for like the last 4 weeks, that terrible pain in my right hip, my right leg would go numb while I'm playing the drums. And it's hard to keep beating that bass when you can't really feel what you're doing. To split my focus, I talked to my wife about it. I said, honey, I don't know what's going on. I'll get up from that drum stool hurting. My right leg hurt, Brother Rick, and I didn't know why. Prayed and I said, Lord, You're going to have to help me. Sister Pepper, I didn't pray that once, not twice, but a whole bunch of times. Because every time I got off that drum stool up there to come down into the service, I hurt. And tonight was the first night in 4 weeks of playing the drums. Tonight was the first night I got off there and I didn't hurt, Brother Robert. I could feel everything. My hip wasn't sore. My knee wasn't aching. Amen. I have full feeling in it tonight. Amen. What am I doing? I'm giving you guys just a simple testimony of how a mighty God can work in a simple, amen, and in a small, insignificant area. It might not be nothing to you, but it was something that was hindering this old boy. Amen. I'm here to testify. Amen. And look on the goodness of God. Amen. I didn't stand up there and complain. I kept doing the work, Brother Larry. I kept doing it with a smile on my face. I kept lifting up the name of God and worshiping, Brother Matthew, even in the midst of my pain. I still gave Him the honor. I still worship the Lord God Almighty. I still marched around this sanctuary. I still got on my knees and prayed. Why? Because I realized that I've got to be a testimony to that little girl right there. I've got to be a testimony to that young man right there. I've got to be a testimony, amen, to the church, amen, of the living God. We've got to begin to grab a hold of what it means to be a testimony. Hallelujah. But instead, was telling the goodness of God, we sit and just say, buddy, I've just had it so rough. I'm going to start doing home church. I just can't do it anymore. But Larry, I just can't come sit on the pew anymore. I'm going to start doing just the Facebook home church thing. I can watch whichever preacher that makes me happy. Oh, church. What kind of a testimony are you being to the generation that's following behind? Because every time, oh, church, hallelujah, every time God said it's time to move, His presence would lead them. And what was always out in front, oh, church, grab a hold of this with me tonight. What was always leading the way, amen, it wasn't Moses. Oh, but it was the ark. Amen. That precious box, amen, that had some representation of what God had done. And not only what He had done, but what He's going to do. I'm here to tell you tonight, let's begin to grab a hold. Let's look back, drag Him to the front, and realize what He's done and what He can do. Church, in that desert, He was able to bring water from a rock. In that desert, He was able to bring healing from a plague of serpents, from a brass symbol that was raised of a snake. In that desert place for 40 years, Brother Jonathan, they didn't wear out a single pair of shoes. Could you imagine that? Well, John, he never had to get another shirt made. He just kind of grew with them. Think about it. 40 years is a long time. Can you imagine London wearing that same outfit for 40 years? It'd look a little small. Guess what? God made a provision. Not only, Brother Larry, did He make provision for their garments, He made provision of substance so that they could continue on. And guess what? When they grumbled and complained and said, God, I'm tired of eating this bread. We want some meat. You know how many's ever heard the Arby's commercial? We've got the meat. They were calling on God, bring us an Arby's in the desert. But don't let it be beef, Lord. Let it be quail. What do we find? The next morning they wake up and they hear, blah, 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 all across the tents, all this quail. What was that? It was a testimony of God. We find that when Miriam spoke out against Moses that she was stricken with leprosy, she spoke out against him and against... Yeah, let me tell you this little secret here. You're not being a good testimony if you're talking bad about your pastor. Amen. Amen. There will be something that will come against you in the form of a plague. You say, oh, I can run from that because I'm better than he is. I tell you, he'll catch up to you. She was marked. Now, there was forgiveness that was brought in. She was healed, able to come back in, but there was still, she was marked. You ever been, man, just, who wants to hang around a leper, a used-to-be leper? I mean, that sounds good. Let me go rub arms where they used to be. See what I can get. Hey, that's a great example of God's mercy and what He did for me. Because I was rotten, Brother Larry. I was far out in sin. I wasn't out living in the world, but I wasn't right in my heart. He had to save me. Amen. I got to get back up here. Brother Larry, I'm trying. Hold me to it. Get that watch out here. Amen. Not only was Israel given the benefits of seeing what God could do, we can look back a little bit further and we can find that there was a man named Abraham. That in the midst of a test that no father would ever want to be asked of. Brother John, You got your son right there. What would you do if God said, take him up to Quail Ridge here? That's the closest, highest peak we got here in Chelsea. Build an altar and sacrifice your son. What would you say to that? Scary thought. You say, well, I live a good distance from Quail Ridge. Maybe I can hide out there at the house for a little while. We can plan a little vacation, and God won't know. That's not what Abraham did. He said, Lord, this is a test. You've proven yourself time and time again. Whenever Lot got himself in an awful bit of trouble, and I had to go down and break everybody free, it was a test, because he had a family member that was in trouble. We find is that Abraham made his way up the hill, and God took that test and made it a testimony. I don't know what mountain you're facing tonight, church, but if you'll begin to look at it through God's eyes, you can see the value at the end of the pain. You can see the treasure that can be bound up in an earthen vessel that can be passed on from generation to generation. Amen. Not only did we see this in Abraham. Excuse me, we can look at David. David was a man. A young man that fought a lion and a bear with just a sling and a stone. Brother Jonathan, he didn't have no AR. He didn't have no muzzleloader. But John, he didn't even have a bow. Grant, no 270 in his arsenal. Strapel, not even a 22 pistol. Nothing. Just a rock and a piece of leather. He beat them both. And that wasn't good enough, Sister Bethany. He's out being pizza delivery boy to his brothers. Give him some bread, some cheese. How about something to drink, boys? You want some pepperoni with that? They get out there, and here's this big old boy out in the valley. You all know this story. I'm making it a little more humorous because I'm getting something out of these kids. You mentioned pizza, and they're all like, does it have cheese on it? He gets out there, and here's this big old boy out there cursing God. What happens when you hear somebody curse God? Do you say, is there not a cause? Or do you just duck your head and go on about what you're doing? And it's quiet. Are you being a testimony? Are you being someone that's passive about when somebody strikes down your God? There was a whole nation, Commander, that was being passive. Well, I don't know who we can send. Maybe we can send Jonathan. He's a fast runner. But if we send him, we're going to have to send somebody else. Because Goliath's going to be watching him run. We're going to have to do a snake attack. But we've also got to be honorable because he said, send me a man. We find David. He says, I'll go. Give me my sling and my stones. He went down to that brook, gathered up some stones, and went out to meet Goliath. He won that day. What was he when he walked back into the city there? Amen. The songs were being saying, Saul has killed his thousands, but David his 10,000s. Amen. It was Brother Rick that was sharing that scripture the other night. He was a testimony. Amen. I want to show you how excited he was. We look down in 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 14. And David danced before the Lord with all of his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. What was David dancing before? The ark. That same old box. Back when Moses had it built. And Aaron put his rod in. We have the tablets that had the commandments. We've got the pot full of manna. That's all there.
And he's dancing and he's worshiping God. Not all because of what he done for the children of Israel, but what he did for him. How he showed him how he could be victorious over a bear, over a lion, and over Goliath. I'm here to tell you, not only that, but whenever a man tried to take his life time and time again, he still went to try and soothe his soul on that harp, trying to reach his soul. David never got discouraged. He never went and ran Saul through. But instead, he kept a right spirit. He kept a right testimony. Somebody does us wrong, we run them through. No second chances around here. No second chances. He talked bad about me, so I won't shake his hand. She acted frustrated earlier, so... Well, she's having a baby, guys. Give the lady some slack. Might have been hunger pains. We got Sister Flora back here. I'm going to pick on you. She was too cold, and she complained about the air being on. Well, I just ain't going to talk to her no more. Heard Brother Matthew's got to give up Mountain Dew. I just can't hang around him anymore. We don't have the same beverage we can drink. I'm serious, folks. People begin to drive wedges because of small, insignificant issues. We wonder why the Church of America is so divided. We've allowed the little things. A mote in his eye. Can't fellowship with him anymore. What about reaching them? Instead of overlooking that small thing and trying to be a light, we slam a beam in ours and say, I want nothing to do with you. Anytime we get around them, here we are. Swinging it at them. What kind of testimony are we being? I just can't go over and hear that preacher or go over and be in that service. I don't agree with the speaker. I don't agree with this or with that. Church, if you are full of the Holy Ghost, you are fire baptized, you might be the small key that walks into that service that shows someone, hey, there's another church in the area that's on fire. Because they might not know. They might not know there's any more truth in what they're living. Jesus Christ went down to where the publicans and the sinners and the harlots were. He didn't go sit in the house of God and say, in the tabernacle and say, tell them to come. They can't come. They were barred from entering into those gates. So why have we gotten such a stigmatism and an attitude about reaching someone? I just can't do it. Where is your testimony, church? Why have you took it and put it on a coat rack and say, this is where it needs to stay, because it's where everyone, amen, that I go to church with can see it. It's not all, I'm sorry to burst your bubble, it's not all about just the people you see here on Thursday night, Sunday morning, and Sunday night. It's about all of those out in the world that you work around, that you shop around, amen, that you drive by. I'm here to tell you tonight that if we want to see God move, we've got to begin to allow Him to move through us. Amen. We might have to go someplace, amen, Sister Pepper, that we don't particularly like, but we've got to be a light. Now, I got to clarify this. I'm not saying go to every fanatical thing that's out there. I'm saying be led of the Spirit of God. There are some things that are all really good that you don't need to be at. People can go get an emotional high just as much as hearing of some fancy rock star or country singer and say, oh, I just had to be there. No, you didn't. You need to be where God will send you. Amen. I've got to get moving. Brother Larry, you're not tapping your watch yet. I got time. Amen. Man, I can't get away from this. David, he was not only dancing for what God had done all them years ago. He was worshiping God for what he had just done. He just allowed him to bring the ark of God back home. We can begin to realize the value of our testimony being at home. Not only being at home, but being able to carry it through our city, saying, look what God has done. Look where he's brought us from. This place, this thing was lost, but now it's found. Amen. Not only did he worship, but the whole nation joined in with him. Not only did David have a testimony, we find that Jacob, he lied to his brother, that great deceiver, him, conniver, ruthless. He met a man that was not of this world, and he wrestled with him. And Jacob faced a test and walked away with a testimony. Sometimes when you encounter God, you've got to leave there differently than you came. He's going to ask something of you. He might say, I need your shoe. Or he might say, I need your wallet. You young people, he might say, I need that device that you carry in your pocket. He wants control over the things that are controlling you, because then you are given freedom again. We have become, I'm going to touch on this and then I'm going to move, because it's ruining our testimony, church. Young people, listen to me. Somebody give me their cell phone. Amen. We've allowed this thing right here to control us. How many of you leave the house without your phone and turn right back around and go get it? Honestly. Why is that? Because it has a leash about our neck. We can't go 5 minutes without seeing, oh, notifications. Got to check this. Oh, Sister Bethany's updated her profile picture. She now has a picture of the soon-to-be baby on there. Oh, Sister April is having a good day at her job. Oh, Brother Larry's got a power outage he's dealing with. Oh, there's Timothy. He shot himself with a nail gun. There's Brother Rick. He hasn't got a ticket this week. Oh, there's Brother Jason. He's starting a new house. We allow all these different notifications. Someone calls. How many times do we hit the ignore? Yeah, what's going on? Okay, I'll be right there. Text message, boop. We interrupt whatever conversation we're having with someone. Oh, you got to hang on a second. This one's more important. How about you? It's hitting home. Ooh. Pastor, you're going to have to break out the bandages. I'm going to need them after this. We become so tethered to the devices of this world. Say, are you preaching against cell phones? I'm preaching against something that has more control over you than the power of God does. How many of you, whenever you get up, the first thing you check is your phone versus the Word of God? I know Grant don't have to worry about this. He doesn't have one. I like Grant. Grant's my buddy. What we do. Well, guess what? When we get tired of our old phone, what do? Say, oh, here, London, you can have this. We pass it down. And then they're now engaged. It's Nana's, you can get back to her. Then they're latched onto it. I know it's quiet. I know I'm going to try and hurry up here in just a second. But if we're not careful, it's the TV. I used to call it whenever I was growing up, that one-eyed devil. We allow all of our attention to be focused on that one thing. The Bible's over here, but the sports game is on. What kind of a testimony are we setting? All right, I better move on, honey. It's tight, but it's right. Amen. Jacob, he allowed the devices, the things that he wanted, they were greater, the things, in his opinion, than the desire and the design that God had for his life. Be careful, young people, that you don't have a greater desire for the things of this world than you do after the things of God. Where are the D.L. Moody's of today's generation? What book would he be found in? What device would he have in his hand? He would have the Word of God. Where is the Pauls? Where's the Peters? Where's the Jameses of our generation? Where is the Lydias? Where is Priscilla, Aquila? Where are these individuals in our world, in our church today? They've been cast off to the wayside because we have a greater desire for the devices of this life than we do for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to leave us down here in the dumps, I promise. We're fixing to climb on up. For the disciples, Jesus showed them what it meant to have a testimony. He affected many people in his time of ministry. He showed them what the perfect example of being a testimony is. And I've already covered part of this where he went. I'm not going to recap on it. But I want us to look at this example of what he did on the cross in Matthew 27:51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to the bottom. And the earth did quake and the rocks did rent. Anybody tell me what was behind that veil? The box. The box was no longer the place in where God held his precious things. Every individual became the box. That's why earlier I said, I am the box. You are the temple, church. What are you doing with this temple? Where are you taking this temple? Timothy, what are you allowing this temple to view? What are you allowing this temple to hear? Isaac, what are you doing with your temple? Are we giving it to God? We're giving it to fleshly desires. I'm fixing to close here in just a minute, but I want to share just a few things of what God's done for me. God has kept his hand of protection around about me so many times. I was on a tractor cutting some square bales, some big square bales. One of them rolled over and almost crushed me, Jonathan. It wasn't for the mercy of God. It stopped just inches of the John from crushing me. 780 pounds of sheer force. That wasn't enough. In my reckless days, I used to swing from them old vines. You know, you see tangled up in trees. George of the Jungle, that was my name. We had these creeks and we'd cut them off, Brother Matthew, on one side. And you just barely reached the other. We finally found this one spot where there were two vines. And you had to swing from one and jump to the other, Jonathan, to make it to the other side. I lunged from one about 10 or 12 feet in the air to grab the other. And I missed. The creek was dry, full of rocks, Brother Rick. And down I go. Landed flat on my back. Mercy was there. I can't breathe. I was down there. All the air was knocked out of me. I blacked out. There was a young boy that was at our house that Sunday afternoon. That was the pastor's son at the church we was then attending. He comes running down here. Lucas! And I barely hear him talking to my brother in the background. He's dead! He's dead. And I finally, and then he says, he's alive. He's alive. No broken bones, just sore. That wasn't enough. Married Lindsay, met Jason. He introduced me to the fast four-wheelers. And to the dunes of Little Sahara we go. Lunge the four-wheeler off the dune. The four-wheeler comes crashing down. I skint my knees, fleshed myself from my shins to my kneecaps. Four-wheeler came down, and I was, by the mercies of God, I was listening to my wife. Bought a really good helmet. It crushed down on my helmet on that back grab bar. Drove my head in the sand. Literally, I was an ostrich. I know what the meaning is. It's got to hurt. And Jason comes flying back up there. And he's like, Bub, are you okay? And the only thing I could do was move my left index finger. I go, I'm okay. Give me a minute. I finally get up out of there. Back on the four-wheeler I go. I guarantee you, I didn't go very fast the rest of the day. That was the mercies of God. Lindsay, I want you to fix it, and I want you to testify in just a second. Get ready. That wasn't enough. I've been in accidents that should have ended fatally. Whenever I was a young boy, about 12 years old, we hit a cow going 55 miles an hour. Our whole family in the van. Fractured my mom's neck, messed my dad's leg up. And I know everybody's supposed to be wearing seatbelts, but in this big old thing, one of the big old vans, we'd just gotten in the car. I think one of my brothers had just gotten out of the front seat and was moving to the back. Wham! Motor comes into the front of the car, van sideways in the highway, and all my dad can see is a set of headlights coming over the hill. But it crushed the battery. The headlights were out. The car was black. No power. He jumps out, goes running up the hill, waving in the vehicle. Running up the hill, telling the people that's coming, stop, slow down. About the time he gets about halfway up there, the truck sees him, thinking it's a drunk person in the road. Swerves around him and guns it. And they didn't see us till about from here to that wall, and they locked it up and slid off into part of the ditch and finally came back up. Said, oh, I thought you was some crazy drunk man. He said, no, I'm trying to protect my family. It's the mercies of God. Because of all of those tests, I have a testimony.
I'm thankful for the goodness of God and his keeping hand and just the fact that he never leaves us to our own devices. And I haven't really been in a lot of serious accidents and stuff like that to that nature, but I do know the power and healing hand of God. I'm thankful for his healing in my life. And a couple of years ago, most of you know that I went through a really dark struggle. We've struggled with secondary infertility. We've lost three babies, and I just struggled for a long time coming to terms with why I had to face what I had to face. And talking about that test, you know, that's not a test I would have chosen, but the test chose me. And learning how to walk through something like that and keep your faith in God intact and knowing that he can do all things. He can heal. He can change the situation, but learning what it means to trust him, even if he doesn't do it, when you think he should do it. And I just remember crying out to God. It was in the summer of 2018, we went out to Paul Creek Ministries to the camp meeting, and I was in that service, and I had been struggling with anxiety and depression and just trying to function the best that I could, but miserably failing. And I remember crying out to God, and I said, God, I don't want to be this way forever. I don't want to stay in this frame of mind and in this place. And they had a prayer line in that service, and they said The preacher that was speaking stopped in the middle of his message and called for a prayer line, and he said, there's preacher's wives in this service that need a desperate touch of God. And I walked to the front of the church, and I made up my mind before I ever left the pew that I said, God, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of this battle and of this fight, and I want you to take over. And I walked to the front of the church, and they laid hands on me, and I felt the power of God come into my life and heal me from the inside out. And it literally felt like 1,000 pounds had been lifted off my shoulders. And in that moment, I knew that God's grace is sufficient. When we are willing to relinquish our control, and I was willing to let go of the pain and the hurt and the anger, and realize that through it all, God is still faithful. And he healed me in that moment. And I haven't struggled to that degree since. That's not to say that we don't have ups and downs, but I'm just thankful that I am a testimony of the power of God. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he has a purpose for our life. And the devil would like nothing more than to squelch any type of ministry opportunity that we would have. If I would have given in to that place that I was at, I know that God wouldn't have been able to use me to the degree that he needed to use me in my life. And I'm thankful that he reached down and healed me and has brought me through that trial.
Church, I would try to tell that, but I can't tell it the same way my wife can. Because I would sit at nights and I would hold her in the midst of the tears and the pain and the not understanding. And Sister Pepper, when we were out there, before we left that day, that preacher that talked to her, Brother Jeff Mayo, he grabbed me by the hand. He said, this test is going to come again. When it comes, remember what God spoke to you tonight. Brother Larry, we didn't expect to experience it again. But then this year, just before Mother's Day, it happened again. It was a test. Brother Matthew, in the midst of that test, I wanted to give in to frustration. Sister April, I had to, those words that preacher spoke to me at that table, he said, it's up to you to remember God spoke. Let me tell you a secret. It's hard sometimes to reach back in the archives of our days and remember what God said, because of all the other things that we've experienced. But if we'll just tune our ears back into the frequency that God initiated in the beginning of time, when he began to have a relationship with mankind, he wanted to commune with them. Amen. How do we commune with God now? It's through prayer, through reading his word. Well, instead of church, a lot of people would have decided to crawl into a bottle. Amen. Or a pill bottle. Amen. Or find something in this world that we begin to satisfy their frustration and their disappointments in life. But instead of crawling to those things in this world, church, I found myself, amen, crawling into the Word, crawling under the altar, and reaching out in the midst of my test to grab a testimony. I'm here to tell you tonight that Revelation chapter 12 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Why? Because they realized that there's power beyond this life. There's power beyond me. It lies in the Lamb, amen, that was slain and gave his life in his last drop of blood for you and for me. I'm here to tell you tonight, it's time that we be a witness. It's time that we grab our testimony and we march forth. Hallelujah. Sister Lindsay, come. Revelation 17 and 14. I'm closing with the scripture, if the church would stand. Scripture says, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For He is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with Him are called and chosen and faithful. Those that are with Him inside the church, inside the house of the living God. Amen. Those that have a decision that I will overcome, I will be a testimony, I will be a witness. They are called. They are chosen. They are faithful. Hallelujah. As we come to these altars, I want to open these altars with a challenge. If you are willing to be a testimony, if you are willing to be a witness, don't ever come back into the house of God with the same attitude that you came to. Come in here with the same attitude of, I'll just worship if I feel right. Don't come in here with the attitude of, the pastor says the right words, Sister Lindsay sings the right song at the altar time, or Brother Robert or Sister Sarah sing the song that strikes a chord in my heart during worship, then I'll change my attitude of my testimony. If I had that tape that I've preached in here with before, with a line across here, church, I'm drawing a line right now. If you desire to see lives changed, if you desire to see family members, amen, that's on your heart and on your mind right now, you want to see their lives changed, it's up to you to come across the line and be a testimony. Say, well, I've already been one. Well, maybe it's time to get a fresh perspective of what your testimony looks like. Jesus Christ told the disciples when He came down and found them sleeping at the hour that He was at His worst. He said, what? Can you not tarry? Can you not pray with me for an hour? The line's been drawn. Church, the altar call is given. Will you stay in your same place and say, I'll continue life as normal? Or will you dare with me? Dare with me to be different in your testimony. Amen. I'm going to be the first one up here saying, God, I need more.